The average person, how many words do they speak in a lifetime?
Average.
Huh?
If you're a woman, a lot. If you're a man, not so many.
Unless you're me, I talk a lot. You what?
Unless you're a gay man.
Okay.
You said it, I was thinking.
All right. Well, a guy in England who does crossword puzzles and he's a word nut, he did a thing and he calculated it out. And the average person in a lifetime, average lifetime, will speak 860,341,500 words.
I think I already passed that up.
Yeah. it's like, okay, that many words. Jesus, in his lifetime, going by what's in Scripture and so on, spoke 30,000 words, because he only lived to be 32. But what that means is the King James, if you were reading the King James Version out loud, you would have to read it 1,550 times in your lifetime. And I thought, but think about it. I read so slow that, you know, I'd read it 12 times forever. But it takes a long time. And most of our words, are they really important? Are most of our words important? No, most of it's just chit-chat. Just talk and what we're doing. So there are important words that we say. Maybe some of those words are things like the first time you were dating, all of a sudden you find yourself saying, "I love you." And you go, "Where did that come from? Where did that come from?" Or, "Will you marry me?" Any of you ever heard those words? What about the word, if you get a response, "Yes"? Is that an important word?
Yes.
Yes. And then there's, "I do." I did. Or for some of you, it's a scary word, "I'm pregnant." And that can have a good or bad meaning. Yeah, terrifies a man, especially if it's you. Yeah. So, and in the Scriptures, there were people that heard important words, like Matthew. What would be the important words that Matthew would have heard? Jesus saying, "Come, follow me. Follow me." Very important words. Lazarus, "Come out, rise, come forth." Yeah. I mean, here he is, he's dead, not hearing anything, and all of a sudden he hears Jesus' voice say, "Lazarus, come out." And you know why he said, "Lazarus, come out," don't you?
Because if he would have just said, "Come out, Lord."
Yeah, if he had just said, "Come out," people all over the place would have been getting up. Okay? The woman with the issue of blood. Here she is, she's going to sneak up to Jesus, because she says, "If I just touch the hem of his coat." Yeah, and then she hears Jesus say, "Who touched me?" Now, she could be stoned for being out with an issue of blood, because you're not supposed to be around anybody. And she's going through a crowd. And all of a sudden she hears Jesus say, "Who touched me?" And you go, "Oh gosh, I've been found out. Who touched me?" And Jesus said some very important words in his life. But there's one that's really important. But in John 19:28-30, it says, "Later, knowing that all was now complete, and so that the scriptures would be fulfilled, Jesus said, 'I'm thirsty.'" Now, earlier he'd been offered a drink, but he refused it. But now he says, "I'm thirsty. A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge and put it on a stalk of a hyssop plant and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, 'It is finished.' With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit." Now, the hyssop plant and that are important because that has to do with Passover. They put the blood on the hyssop plants and put it on the doors and so on. So it ties back in with the Passover. But he has that scripture, and he says a very important word, theia. It's a Greek word. In Greek, it's one word. In English, it's three words. It is finished. It is finished. And it says right here at the beginning, later, knowing that all was now complete, he knew it was all complete. He took the drink to fulfill Scripture, and then he said, it is finished. And he gave up the ghost. Now, it's an important word. It is finished. It's an accounting term that means paid in full. But what it means is that there's nothing more you can do. There's nothing more that needs to be done. We cannot do anything to make the situation better. And we can't do anything to make it worse. It's done. It's right where it needs to be. I heard a pastor talking about it one time when his brother got in trouble. And the local sheriff called and he says, okay, I'll come and get him. And so he went down and got his son. And when he got home, the wife wanted to know what was done. And he says, I took care of it. Don't worry about it. He didn't want to talk about it. Well, that's what Jesus is saying. I took care of it. There's nothing more that you can do but talk about it. Is there anything more we can do? Yes. We come to the purpose for this day. And we can use a word. Thank you. Two words. Thank you. Thursday, we're going to celebrate Thanksgiving. This is what we're giving thanks for, really. I mean, we got cars, we got houses, we got everything else. We got a dinner. But the reality is, if you don't have any of that, you still have salvation. And you have the opportunity to say, thank you. How often do we say thank you? Now, I've learned to say thank you more from Scott, because he's always saying, thanks for putting the trash cans out. Thanks for getting the mail. Thanks for doing this. Thanks for doing that. And so I've learned to say thank you to jump the gun. I can say thank you before you can.
Thank you for thinking.
you know, I'm more thankful than you are because I said it louder.
I said it first.
And I said it first. So what I did is I went through the scriptures and with my little computer back there, and I pulled out all the times that you say thanks, thank you, thanks. There's thank, and there's thanks, and there's thanks you, and there's thanksgiving, and there's all kinds of things. But all the times that it said thanks, and I pulled up, because I usually pull them up and I'll go through them, and it's like, there's 56 pages of scriptures that say thank you or thanks or something along that line. So then I had to go through and I had to pick out what scriptures I wanted to use. And I got it down to 19. But then I got it down to 18 because I duplicated one of them. And I had to go pull it out of the computer so we wouldn't read it twice. But I started in the Old Testament. And in this Old Testament and in the scriptures, thanks and thanks always had to do with God. It always had to do with God and the thanks. So in Daniel 2:23, it says, I thank you and praise you, O God of my fathers. I thank you and praise you. Praise gets tied in there with it. I could have put that in too, because praise has to do with the thanks there. He says, I thank you and praise you, O God, my father, of the God of my fathers. You have given me wisdom and power. You have made known to me what we ask of you. Now, this is what's happened here. Daniel, the king, has had a dream, and Daniel is supposed to interpret it. And so he got the interpretation. So he says, you gave me what I ask of you. You have made known to us the dream of the king. You made known to us the dream of the king. Because part of it was, if he didn't get it right, he was going to get killed. But he made it known. And he's saying, I thank you and I praise you because you did what I asked. I asked you to give me an interpretation, and you did. You did. 1 Chronicles 23:30. They were also to stand every morning to thank and praise the Lord. They were to do the same in the evening. They were instructed. stand and give thanks to the Lord. How often do we do it? We say it to each other.
On Sundays.
On Sundays, yeah, you know. But how often do we thank the Lord? Or other people, but the Lord. How often do we just stop and say thank you? I try to make sure I do it when I get, when I got driving in my car and I see a great sunrise and stuff like that. I've told you that before. I just yell thank you. I yell it. And sometimes I'll do that at home. I'll go, thank you. And Scott will go, you scared the whatsoever out of me. I didn't want to say the word, but you know. And then in First Chronicles 16:34, it says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. His love endures. That's it, going back to that thing. There's nothing you can do to make God love you less. God loves you, and God that'd be a good song, wouldn't it? I think it is. It endures forever, yeah. And then what? We sing praise. First Chronicles 29:13. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. We just give thanks to give thanks.
Amen.
Psalms 28:7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him and I am helped. My heart leaps for joy and I will give thanks to him in song. We just did that. Three songs. Yeah. So it's like, you know, I will, the psalmist is saying, he's my strength, he's my shield. I'm going to give praise in song. I'm going to give thanks in song. Have you ever just made up a song as you go? Yeah, I did it once. It was fun. It was in tongues, and so I didn't understand it, but it felt good. And I was like, wow. Psalms 75:1. We give thanks to you, O God. We give thanks for your name. We give thanks for your name is near. Men tell of your wonderful deeds. The word spreads. Are we doing it? Are we telling people of his wonderful deeds? Psalms 104:4. Enter his gate with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. Enter his gates. Good song. Yeah, good song. Corrine and I were talking about the gates the other day. About how big they are. And it's like, why does heaven have gates that are never closed? Same reason houses have shutters that never close. Karina said, it lets you know where they are. It's like, yeah, it is. Psalms 50:14. Sacrifice thank offerings to God. Fulfill your vow to the Most High. Fulfill your vow. Thank offerings. Psalms 50:23. He who sacrifices thank offerings honors me, and he prepares the way so that I may show him the salvation of God. It helps open the way. And these are just a few. As I thought I'd go through and say, you know, write down everything that I find that God gives thanks for. That, if you notice, these are all different. I did some of that, but the list was getting too long. We'd have been here longer than I'm going to be here anyway. Romans 1:8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you. Because your faith is being reported all over the world. This is Paul talking. He's talking to the Romans. And he says, I thank for you because your faith is being reported all over the world. People are seeing what you're doing. Who was it? Francis Assisi said, spread the gospel and if necessary, use words. Use words. 1 Corinthians 14:8. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. Who's talking? Paul. I thank God I speak in tongues more than all of you. Joyce Meyer said she got in a thing where she was speaking in tongues, and God finally said, talk in English, you're using tongues too much. Because you don't understand them. And sometimes God wants to communicate with you. Colossians 1:3. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. One thing I can say, that when Scott and I have our morning and evening prayers, there's always thanks in there. Mm-hmm. Thanks for relatives, thanks for blessings, thanks for strength, thanks for healing. And then ask for blessings, for healing of the people we gave thanks for. Because we're doing it. Right now we're thanking God for Reed's magnet therapy. He goes in and they stick a magnet on his head and vibrate his head around a little bit, and it for depression, because he has really hard depression. And he says they have to use really high voltage on me because I have a thick skull. That's like, okay. All right. 1 Thessalonians 3:19, and I like this one a lot. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy you have in the presence of our God because of you? How can we ever thank God enough for you? Do you have somebody like that in your life? Are you sitting next to her? How can we thank God enough? Both of them.
I said, yes, I am. I'm sitting next to both of them.
So, you know, and that, but that's the thing. Do we really stop and think about it? We can thank people when things are going on, okay? 1 Timothy, I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considers me faithful, appointing me to his service.
Amen.
Nice harmony, huh? Yeah, I mean, do we stop to realize that God's called us and has saw fit to call us? Do we thank him for the responsibility?
Yeah, yes and no.
Yes and no? I know, because sometimes you put in so much time that it's like, oh, God, you know, give me a break. But we have so many things we get blessed for. Can we ever thank God enough? John 11:41. So they took away the stone. This is Lazarus, again. Jesus has been there. He's now down at the tomb. And he says, take away the stone. So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And if you read on, it says, I know that you always hear me. Mm-hmm. But here's Jesus being thankful. He was a human at the time. I thank you that you always hear me. Jesus isn't too lofty to not thank.
Amen.
He's giving thanks to what they're doing. When he fed the multitudes, he says, bring them to me. That's the fish and the bread. And he said, and he directed the people to sit down on the grass, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. 5,000 people out here, and you got 5 loaves and 2 fish. What's Jesus doing? Thank God I got 5 loaves and 2 fish. If I'd have had 1 loaf and 1 fish, I'd have still been thankful. Even Jesus gave thanks in his time here. It's 1 Corinthians 11:24. Through 26. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Thanks mm-hmm. for all of it.
Amen.
And he tells us, do it and remember. We're going to celebrate. And part of our prayer is we thank you for this bread and this juice. We remember to put the thank you part in there. And then the last scripture that I'm going to use is 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do it. This is God's will for you. To be joyful always, to pray continually, and to give thanks in all circumstances. All circumstances. God blesses us way beyond anything we can comprehend.
Amen.
All you have to do is walk outside. You don't even have to walk outside. Take a breath. Oxygen. Muscles that make it work. It's cold outside. We have a furnace. We have clothes. I know sometimes it's really easy to look at life and go, it sucks. But it's life. And God gives it to us.
Amen.
I mean, there's a lot of things that go on in this world that, you know, don't thrill us. The fires in California. We pray. We thank God for his blessing and his love that endures. And he does. Watch out for us and takes care of us. And if we die, what a blessing. What a blessing. Because Paul said, I'd rather die and be with Jesus. But you need me here, so I'll stay for a little longer. What are you thankful for?
I'm thankful that there's thousands of people missing in paradise right now, and my family is not. I know right where my dad is, and I know right where our family is, and I'm thankful that we're not searching for my father. I'm thankful that he's alive.
Okay. Anybody else?
You all know that I've been through.
Good. Mm-hmm. Anybody else?
I'm thankful to be alive. I'm so thankful that God and my friends who all supported me through the heart attacks, through all the stents, the cardio rehab, and that I'm thankful for the health that I was born with, that I've been returned back to normal. I'm just so thankful for all of the friends, for what you people have done to keep me going through the cardio rehab and everything else. I mean, I couldn't ask other than just keep thanking.
Yeah, it is. It's we have so many blessings. So many blessings. So, what I want you to do now, because the page is blank, which means I've come to the end. So what we're going to do is I want you to close your eyes and again, ask the Holy Spirit, what do you want me to get out of this? Would you pray with me? Loving God, we thank you. Thank you for the opportunity we have to stop and say thank you. for all that you do, for all that you are. Thank you for each other and the love we share. Thank you for guidance and direction. Thank you for things we don't see. Because, Lord, we don't see a lot. But you're there. And you're taking care of things. And Lord, there's so many things that we rely on you. Lord, the fires in California, they seem to be out of our control. We need your care there and getting them out. Lord, tons of comfort needs to be put out for all the people involved and their families. Lord, but we could go on. The shooting that took place, just the way the government is running, and the things that are problems that only your hand can touch, Lord. So we ask you to touch it. Touch it. Bring healing to the land. Bring healing to the people. Bring healing to the world. Lord, we thank you for just being you. Sometimes we expect you to be more. Lord, you're just what needs to be done. You're just the way you need to be. And you created us to be the same. So, Lord, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.